A company called IBM has been around for over 100 years. It was founded or co-founded by a guy called Thomas Watson. And his son is also fairly well known for the, you know, for the company's legacy. His name is also the same, but he's the junior. And we've been writing about the history of IBM for a while, and we've been writing about the situation of Red Hat and Red Hatters, people who work for Red Hat, inside IBM. So they still have their identity as IBM people, sort of a division of IBM, but at the same time, they increasingly get blue washed. Blue washing is actually a term that I saw yesterday for the first time. It has nothing to do with greenwashing, with environmentalism. It's more to do with the fact that when IBM buys a company, sooner or later, the culture, the management, the agenda will be more big blue, will be IBM. Even if you call yourself Red or Red Hat or a Linux person, remember, the people who now work for Red Hat, and there is a, presumably there is a manager called Cromier, they think of themselves as kind of wearing a fedora, a red one, you know, not the one with Donald Trump, the baseball cap, but the thing is they're no longer really a Linux company, they're more of an IBM company. And that's the thing you have to explain to people, because they still identify people by addresses at Reddit.com. But they are actually working for IBM, and over time they will be increasingly pressured to work to the whims of at the whims of IBM. So that would mean people like Krishna, and now not anymore, Mr. Whitehurst. So over the past day or half a day, we have received a huge amount of traffic. I just noticed in the side of people trying to find what the fuck's going on inside IBM. And this is understandable because there hasn't been much information about the exodus of people who work for Red Hat, and also the layoffs of people who work for Red Hat, and some of the issues associated with the past and the management and the future, if there is any, of IBM. What you see before you, you may have heard about it by now, Jim Whitehurst, James Whitehurst, we call him Allowhurst, which is a way of slanting the whole thing, the notion that the words black and white are somewhat, you know, offensive somehow. Edwin Black wrote a book called IBM and the Holocaust. Just over 20 years ago, recently did an interview celebrating the 20-year anniversary of the book IBM and the Holocaust. And his name is Edwin Black. Now, you would think that maybe the surname is inappropriate because his name is Ed Black, you know, and Black is like racist, presumably. And likewise, you might say Whitehurst is a alienating, offensive term because it has the word white. So we call him Jim Allowhurst. So in the remainder of the video, just to clarify, I will call him Jim Allowhurst. Even people in IRC call him that, and some people mistake that for, they call him Denyhurst and Allowhurst, but they don't seem to know why. It's nothing to do with deny and allow, it's just the fact that we're trying to slant the IBM spin, and it is mostly an IBM spin. Also Intel and Microsoft, but mostly IBM, pushing this idea that IBM is a woke, anti-racist company, working for society in general, by having this consortium that will change words. What a ridiculous thing. What an absolutely ridiculous thing. Because some of the words they change, they're not nothing to do with slavery. They're not even slaves. They move on and on and on to more words that they consider to be not inclusive enough. Presumably even words like moron and sanity check and things, that's like offensive and uninclusive. And this is crazy stuff. Now, I'm not an intolerant person myself, but I can draw the line when I say, wait, this is going too far. Even Richard Stallman, when the people on the, I don't know what you would call them, I don't want to use labels, sometimes they suggest changes of words and misuse of language, and he says, no, enough, too far, you've gone too far. And even Stallman will do that, even though Stallman is a leftist, he will say, we shouldn't go way too far on these things. And I think the moment you start to say people the word crazy, you could say like, this is a crazy algorithm, and people say, shh, don't say crazy, that will offend some people. I think you've gone too far. Because we do need to have some flexibility in a language. I want to say that IBM is a master. When you're a client of IBM for mainframe, they are the masters of you. I don't want them to come in and to say, well, you cannot use the word master to express the relationship between the corporation and the people, because that's essential. And we've covered this before in more than one video. So over the past, again, half a day, I'm kind of monitoring things because I'm trying to understand what's going on. And first of all, right off the bat, I don't really know why Jim Whitehurst left. I don't know. I saw many speculations, I saw media reports, but they're mostly speculative, and they're mostly making assumptions about the guy. It doesn't say why he's leaving. It doesn't say that, it doesn't say it openly. This is the official announcement. This video will not speak about the collapse of IBM, which is a real thing. They have major issues right now with email. That's been covered in the media, and I'm not going to cover it in this video. This isn't about IBM as a company collapsing. This is specifically about the component that's Red Hat. I already said yesterday, I spent 3 to 4 hours researching this. Literally 3 to 4 hours, and I couldn't write a single factual article with confidence, because it's just everywhere. I see mutually contradictory statements, assumptions, hypotheses, and I cannot make sense of what's going on. Did Jim Whitehurst leave? Was he pushed out? Was he fired? Did somebody in his family maybe die and he decided, I want to change in my life? I think he's in his 50s now. He doesn't look like it. He always looked a lot younger than he is, but he's not that young. But he's not so old. If he enjoys the job, if he sees a future, he probably would stay. President of IBM. Historically very important company. In US culture, if you go to museums and stuff, IBM's everywhere. Space programs, nuclear programs, and everything. IBM was in everything. They were a monopoly. When I grew up, I was born in the early 80s, IBM was, I mean, computers were called IBM compatible, and I'm still a child, I'm thinking, what is this IBM compatible thing? Even the things that are not IBM are IBM compatible, is everything has to be labeled IBM? Yeah, because IBM controlled the standards and a lot of things, they innovated all these floppy disks and all sorts of technologies. And because of the antitrust actions, there was opening of the market to IBM-compatible things. So there will be a bit of competition. And a lot of the innovation in computers, and this is really innovation, even if it's a monopoly, came through IBM. It probably would have come from other companies too. A lot of it did. They did have some competition. But IBM is well known for a lot of things. And if Jim wanted to be a president in IBM, and he enjoyed his job, and he wasn't coming under pressure from his former colleagues from Red Hat complaining, he probably would have stayed. And I think I know why he's leaving, but I don't know for sure. So I already said, I have contacts in Red Hat. Over the years, I have people who speak to, who used to work in Red Hat, who still work in Red Hat. I will not name them. Some of them you can see publicly. Sometimes we speak publicly, you know, in Twitter or in IRC, but some of them are more privately. And I asked, like, does anybody know the story of, did he ever fight with someone? Did he ever fight with Krishna? Or did he have a fight with the board or something? What's the story? The short story is, I don't know. And this is why I couldn't write an article. I wanted to write an article to say something. Not a stupid meme, but an actual article to analyze this. But what we're going to do is, this is the original announcement. Everything else is speculation, and it's just hearsay. The first thing I heard of is our sysadmin told me that Jim White, she actually said Jim Allowhurst had been sacked. And my first reaction is, wait, how do you know he was sacked? Was he sacked? Did he leave? Did he retire? It doesn't say exactly. if you look at the words here, the official words just right before you now, you will see it's not clear. It's really not clear. It doesn't give any details. And I will ignore the rest of it. There's obviously more changes. IBM has many major issues now with email. Not the subject of this post. I posted it on Daily Links, but I want to focus on this one thing. So the first thing that the person, she showed it to me. She showed me the article from SJVN in a bullshit site called ZDNet. It is a bullshit site. It's a site funded partly by IBM. If you don't believe me, look any ordinary day at the sidebars, the footers, and the top, you'll see lots of advertisements from IBM. Look at the editorial choices of what they covered and the way they cover. You'll realize that ZDNet, which used to be mostly an a Microsoft propaganda site, was then joined by more and more bullshit and spam and complete garbage. They call this clown washing of IBM at the side. And in conjunction to taking the advertising money from IBM, they started to plaster all sorts of puff pieces. Each time IBM had a press release, they would repeat what IBM had to say, including all this like war on words. They call it the war on words because it started with goodwill. Like, let's put aside this word slave, because it's not, you know, we can use better metaphors than slave, which is true. I agree with that. But then they went further and further, and IBM is going all the way to the bank with them and trying to change every bit of vocabulary we have, including the names of branches in Git, which doesn't have any slaves at all. The users of Git, even if they connect to a master branch, they're not slaves. It's the master branch, like the master track. Right? So in an audio recording, you have a master track and you have a master branch. It makes sense. Makes sense. I don't think it's offensive to anyone. Except in theory, it might be offensive. Maybe if they keep saying it's offensive, maybe people will start taking offense in it. But nobody even pointed out it was offensive, as far as I can tell. I never saw such a claim. So they're kind of chasing a strawman argument, and they try to say to us that we need to be more polite. And they take one word, and they take the next word, and the next word, and the next word. And before you know it, they tell you that the word crazy, or that the word lame, should not be used in any context, not even in comments in the code. You couldn't say, oh, this is a bit of a lame bit of code, because they would want us to think that this is not inclusive, and somebody would be offended by the word lame. I mean, where are we going with this? Crazy. Oh, sorry, I cannot say crazy either, you know? Cannot say crazy, cannot say anything. And so this was the first one. Doesn't say anything. Sorry, Steven, you're not informing me. He says he steps down as IBM president. He says he steps down, not fired. But the person who links to it, she told me that he got sacked. Maybe he was. Maybe he was sacked. We don't know. Maybe he was put in such a horrible position that he decided, I'm going to step down. Or maybe they decided it would look bad if he was to be sacked, so they say, now you can either step down or we push you off the cliff. Which is very common a thing, especially in management. Just to make it look good, you will not sack the manager, you will say to the manager, you can resign today, or if you don't, it will look worse. It will look worse in your resume too, if you get sacked. So you might be leaving. And I my personal instinct, he decided to leave. Why? I don't know. Now, it's not like I didn't check after ZDNet. This is a bullshit site associated with the Linux Foundation. It's basically, it's a PR site. It used to be known as Machtware. Then it was known as the Macht. Macht basically means freedom. Machtware would be Freedom Software, then it was known as Linux Vida, and something else which I cannot remember, and then it was reinvented as TFIR, you know. And this site is marketing itself as a marketing tool. It's a PR site, it's not a news site, they don't hide it, and this doesn't say anything new either, written by Monica. Monica is just taking press releases and just rewrites them slightly. No actual investigation, so you will just see that it doesn't say anything to you, not surprisingly. It just copy-pastes whatever, it doesn't do any investigation, doesn't speak to a source. Typical PR. Typical. So I'm going to skip that. Next one I saw was this one. And people were mentioning, I'm going to go through this in a moment, the fact that the shares of IBM, which partly relied on this concept that IBM is attracting new talent, a fresh vision, a different way, you know, sort of like reinventing itself. Over the years, IBM had quite a few crises, and then there would be a manager coming in. There's at least two of them, famous, you know, sort of epic managers who turned things around in IBM and managed to make it relevant again. At least two of them. But when he left, people thought, okay, this is bad. So what are we left with? You know, what's going on? Is there a vision? Well, the stocks went down, and the pensioners, people who used to work in IBM and have a pension with IBM, they're growingly concerned. And they even say themselves that pensioners, I will come to it in a moment, they're really concerned at the fact that IBM stocks will go down, and they also expect that with the second quarter results coming very soon, it will even get worse. Because some of them have some insight knowledge, and they think the results are not so good. Once again. So there is the shares of IBM will decrease in value. Lots of people say Reddit shouldn't be bought by IBM because IBM strategy, IBM could use the money better. They overpaid for Red Hat, and they probably did. But I would argue all of these tech companies, those that claim to be worth a trillion and 2 trillion, it's all bullshit. It's bubble. It's a Wall Street fantasy game. It's companies, some of them don't even make a profit, and you're supposed to think that a company like Tesla, that doesn't even make money, most of the time make losses, is somehow worth like $1 trillion. It's a crazy thing, but never mind the prices of the, you know, so-called valuations of things, which is just a fantasy world. They're not actually worth that money. It's nonsense. It seems as though the people that IBM paid for, because let's face it, what IBM paid for was patents. Unfortunately, quite a few software patents. They paid for a trademark, Red Hat and Red Hat Enterprise Linux, and they paid for the engineers, the people, the culture. And some people say Jim Whitehurst was supposed to be kind of a reinvigorating force that will bring a culture of openness and gentleness and attract new talent. People say, I want to join IBM because I like this guy who wrote a book called The Open Organization. So, you know, maybe it's like a younger company. It has a promising future. It's a Linux company. Of course, many people found out, we've done a number of videos about it before, they found out for a number of months, IBM was trying to basically pull the rug from beneath people's feet, people who were using mostly CentOS, and get them to buy support from IBM. And I think it was a big failure, because each week they would come up with a new offer, like, you know, you can use up to like 15 or 16 machines, or if you're an open source company, you can get it like for free up to a certain limit. They were trying to put up all these web pages, sign up today, you know, become a customer of IBM, or download the latest Red Hat Enterprise Linux if, you know, you're eligible for it. Of course, with Linux, we don't want to be in a position where we need to ask permission from a company like IBM to get another copy, you know, another instance of it. We might as well just go to Gentoo or Debian or something else. So whoever came up with this strategy in IBM is an idiot. And not only an idiot, but a person who fails to comprehend how the license, the GNU GPL, works. Because now we have Alma Linux, and we have Rocky Linux, and you have a few other ones. Not so well known, but they're still around. And of course, you can move to Oracle, too, if you fancy another master, another bad company, bad faith company, can go there, too. So IBM stocks are not, you know, the stock is not doing well, obviously, because the departure of quite a few people, not just Jim Whitehurst, this one focuses on this guy because he was president, doesn't bode well for the company in general. Why did he leave? Well, you read on, and you generally find out it doesn't say anything useful, doesn't explain anything about why. Why did he leave? What happened? There was a story. There was a story. There was a debate, a conversation about the future of IBM, about the president of IBM, about his staff. I don't know the conversation. I'm not privy to it. Now, another one. This is the latest that I saw. Look at this. This is pure. I know Krishna has got a PhD. I think it's in electronics or something. I actually saw his thesis. You can find it online. But this is not scientific. So he's a scientist. He got a PhD many years ago. Many years ago. Krishna is the son, by the way, of two military people. His mother worked for the army in India. And his father was a fairly high-ranked official. Not official. You can say official is the wrong word. But he was working in the army in a fairly high-profile position in the Indian army. And he studied science in the United States. In the United States, he studied, and he stayed in the United States working for a company called IBM. He worked in sort of research departments for a while, and now he's been reduced to this kind of thing, hybrid clown and hey-hi strategy, which is just vague nonsense. You know, I can make this up. It's just a soup or a salad of buzzwords. It doesn't mean anything. Now, you would think maybe Richard Speed, who wrote this article, you can see here, you would think maybe he found out, you know, maybe we'll go further than the official words of IBM and try to investigate what actually happened. But it doesn't say that. It just basically quotes the announcement. It talks about the shares and the company here. Talks about compensations. By the way, we don't know exactly the compensation. We'll come to it in a moment. So people are internal. Internal is in working in IBM or have connections in IBM. They have speculations and they link to pages that will give you an indication of how much money he was receiving to stay or to leave the company earlier than 2 years. But there is no confirmation at all that he received the following amount, or IBM doesn't talk about it. That's not surprising. By the way, the Register wrote a widely cited, widely referenced article about the bonuses of Virginia Romite and Krishna. I think something of the order of $20 million. So while IBM is not performing, it's losing money and decreasing in revenue. These people are taking massive bonuses for themselves. And this is contributing to unrest among the staff. They think that bonuses should be tied to performance. If you don't perform, you shouldn't get a bonus. Right? And this doesn't say anything at all about the reasons why he left. Doesn't speak to any anonymous insider or anything like that. You know, they quote Paul Cromier from last year. I'll come to it in a moment. But this doesn't tell me anything about the reason why he left. It's not even trying to investigate that. Some people would quote some of the comments from here. You can go through the comments. But even the people who quote the comments are really not flattering. And they don't tell you anything about the reason for the departure of the person. I spent hours reading through this. I didn't get anything out of it, unfortunately. Just useless. If you go to the layoffs website, very useful website, by the way, lots of people here are stakeholders in IBM. They're not actually shareholders. Usually there are people from inside the company who want to have gossip about what they see inside a company. Some of them are pensioners, people who used to work in IBM, and their pension is tied to the performance of IBM. So they're quite concerned. ISO, this is one thread here about Whitehurst. These are the latest ones, by the way. And here again, Whitehurst. I think I saw three different threads. This one now has 13 replies. This one has 38 replies. The latest one on here is 5 replies. I've read all of them. And they're quite interesting ones. But some of them speculate what happened. Some of them talk about Paul Cromier, you know, sort of shivering and being all afraid because he doesn't know what's going to happen next, because the person who left him in charge of IBM has just left. And I think if you work for Red Hat and you're actually an IBM employee, it probably says IBM on your paycheck. I didn't see the paychecks, but I can imagine by now it wouldn't say Red Hat, it would say IBM or International Business Machines. And seeing that the person who assured them things would be fine, he said to them, no, nothing will change, it'll be fine. We will be working the same way as always under IBM. That's been refuted in recent months because you see the attitude of IBM changing. They played a big role in the attack on the Free Software Foundation, first in 2019, which is 1 year after they announced the takeover of Red Hat. They even issued press releases condemning the Free Software Foundation, and then they did the same thing again earlier this year, and they used their front groups to kind of influence them to play a role in a campaign of defamation against the founder of Free Software, only months or around the same time they were taking away more and more from the Free Software community, from the GPL software. And by that stage, Fedora as a community was barely even a community. It was just sort of a few unpaid volunteers, a few people with Outreachy and Google Summer of Code. I call it Gulag Summer of Labor or Gulag Summer of Work because it's just mostly very low paid labor that, you know, the cost is shouldered by Google, but it's not for goodwill. Google wants to be able to censor people and control perceptions about Google, so people will think, oh, Google is such a great citizen, it's contributing to diversity and to poor students and education. No, it's just nonsense. It's mostly marketing by now. Maybe it wasn't before, but nowadays Google is mostly using all this money, all these programs to sort of garner goodwill gestures. And it's not something the shareholders of Google will allow them to do unless it was of financial benefit to Google. To Google, not to the community or freedom. No, it's supposed to be beneficial to the public image of Google. And so currently, if you read all the comments one by one, and the links in them, some of them are very formal links, you know, things to do with compensation, you will still not know, I can assure you, you will still not know what happened, why Jim Whitehurst actually decided to leave IBM, or whether he got pushed out. I don't think he got sacked, like he all of a sudden woke up in the morning and he received this letter and says, you're fired. It didn't happen like that. I'm pretty sure it didn't happen like that, but maybe he was pushed out. Maybe he put up resistance saying to them, we cannot withdraw support for CentOS because that would cause an uproar and there will be forks of the distros. I don't think he's that advanced. I mean, by the way, Jim Whitehurst is using a Mac. He's not even using Linux, but he probably knows enough about the general landscape of things and maybe he warned them, we shouldn't be doing that. Maybe that's why he was pushed out. And he was, we don't know, speculations again. If you know what happened, I put my email address out there yesterday. If you know, some people for sure some people know what happened. But they're afraid to speak out because if it comes out, it might be embarrassing. They know what happened for sure. Some people know. They were part of the decision, they made the announcement in the website of IBM. And anybody who covered this, including media partners of IBM, like ZDNet, they're not even explaining to you what happened. They don't tell you the story. And usually big corporations, from experience, they don't like to talk about layoffs. And when people leave the company, they don't care to explain to you what happened. Is they sit down for a while, maybe a few hours in a meeting, coming up with, what's the best way to tell the story to reduce the impact on the stock, on the shareholders? So they will come up with what's the best way to deliver the message and the best time. By the way, notice the timing. They announced this fairly late, not in the morning, but fairly late on a Friday, just before a long weekend, the 4th of July, U.S. Independence Day. I don't think that's a coincidence, but I heard, and this is not confirmed, this is a rumor, that what actually happened was the departure of Jim Whitehurst or a bunch of people, including himself, was leaking out, and there was already a basically whistleblower in IBM talking about his departure. So IBM decided, look, we can either allow a whistleblower to control the narrative, or immediately we will announce in the website that these people are leaving to kind of control the message and to tell it the way we prefer it to be told. I saw one person actually commenting that it was basically leaking out that these managers were about to depart. And that's the reason they chose this time. So maybe they didn't choose that time because of the 4th of July. Maybe it's just to do with the fact that the information was starting to trickle out and they worried about the control of the story, of the narrative, which would be more and more devastating to the shares of the company. That's just the way companies work sometimes. If you know what happened, contact us in IRC or in email. You have my PGP key so you can encrypt the message. There's loads of ways you can do it anonymously. If you're working in IBM, you're probably technical enough to know how to do it anonymously. Just explain to us what happened. What's the story? There is a story behind it for sure, and I'm almost 100% sure that the way IBM presents it is just designed to limit the damage, but not actually tell a wholly sincere, a full story. Maybe it's a semi-truth, maybe it omits the less flattering issues, maybe there was a fight inside the board. Maybe Whitehurst even tried to become, some people say Whitehurst wanted to become CEO of Red Hat, and some people say that Krishna was like this authoritarian, arrogant guy, and Jim Whitehurst couldn't stand it, so he left because of the attitude of what they call AK. If you look at the forums here, IBM layoff, almost everybody refers to him as AK, right? And they have a very, very negative opinion on him. In fact, they want to set up a petition, maybe they already have, for getting rid of him. A petition to depose the CEO of IBM. Loads of comments here, 14 comments, and they really, really think he's not doing a good job. They also thought the same thing of the predecessor, Junior of Virginia. They thought of the same thing. But they don't think he's going to save IBM. They think he's going to make the company flounder quite fast. And the recent issues with their email system, not just email systems, you know, why would you want to buy IBM for anything if they cannot even run their own email system? A very basic thing. And IBM historically was in the business of email, things like notes and stuff and communications. And they cannot even manage their own communications. And based on reports, they're actually losing control. They're losing some of their sales and some of their contracts because they cannot even communicate with their clients at the moment. It's really embarrassing. It's really embarrassing. And then they go to Slack, to a third-party company, and start posting emojis and all sorts of horrible things. This is not the way to run a company. And IBM used to be known for excellence, not anymore. Not anymore. I don't think anything can save them at this stage. I think IBM and Microsoft are still trying to assure shareholders that things are fine, that they will buy this company and that company and they have this strategy. But both companies, and I mentioned IBM and Red Hat. By the way, IBM/Red Hat and IBM are not competing, they're not competitors, they're not enemies. They increasingly work together. Much of the code produced by IBM, even yesterday, I saw an announcement that's been put on Microsoft GitHub, a proprietary software monopolistic trap. So IBM works with IBM, and I think they have a shared pain because both of them are failing to reinvent themselves. Of course, they're lobbying for software patents, they're blackmailing companies for protection money, using patents, they're trying to destroy the free software community. Unfortunately, they do all sorts of horrible things that I wouldn't imagine a company like Apple even bothering You know, Apple isn't going to go out there and trying to cancel Richard Stallman because Apple is too busy using its sweatshops. And remember, the real staff of Apple is not people in the US, they're actually sweatshops in China making things. Nobody seems to notice that or to care about them, but that's where the money is made. Producing loads of low quality goods with low paid labor in China and then selling it for, like, I don't know, 20 times the price of the manufacturing. That's the business model of Apple. I don't think Apple cares that much about the free software communities, because with their marketing, they're capable of getting enough fools to line up and to pay $1,000 for a device that probably costs only less than $100 to make, less than $100 to actually manufacture, but people will pay like over $1,000 for this status symbol. Look at me, I can afford Apple, right? And Apple will probably be okay in terms of finances. IBM is not doing okay. IBM is laying off loads of people. You can expect more layoffs. There's still rumors. Remember, this site is called IBM Layoffs. The site itself is the layoffs, but this is one of the most busy, maybe even the busiest board, the busiest section of the site is about IBM, because there are loads of layoffs going on. There's also layoffs in Microsoft. Don't lose sight of that. Microsoft is laying off loads of people. They're hiding it, of course, because they know people are not going to sign contracts with the company that lays off the staff. You probably wouldn't want to outsource your business to Microsoft Azure if you knew, which is true, by the way, that they're also laying off staff in Azure, because they're faking growth. They're faking growth, and they're not the only ones doing that. They hope to turn around, they hope it will become a success story, but currently the only profitable one, the big one, is AWS, and even AWS wasn't profitable until quite a few years later, when it finally managed to make a profit, finally. And there's no guarantee at all that Google and Microsoft will make money on the so-called cloud hosting. Google loses loads of money. Last year, Google lost $6 billion last year on this Google Cloud Engine, whatever they call it. They're losing money on that. IBM, if you probably don't know it, IBM also has this cloud computing thing, the hosting, and it has loads of technical issues. It's becoming a bit of a joke. Even internally, people make fun of how IBM, which used to be a giant in mainframes and systems and what they call it hyperscale, they cannot even manage simple hosting for clients. It has loads of technical issues, and I wouldn't blame people saying, like, we shouldn't even touch anything IBM. And lots of people, lots of geeks these days, they don't want to touch anything with the label IBM. Not because it's uncool, but because there is no evidence that IBM now, 2020, 2021, is capable of making good, reliable products. Not even hardware. Used to have ThinkPad. Well, they sold that. That's a Chinese company now, Lenovo. So what are they doing? What's their future? Is it Red Hat? Is Red Hat going to save IBM? No. No, because you look at what they've been doing the past few months, and it was a catastrophe. It was a catastrophe. I can assure you, they didn't get many. When they speak about the increase in contracts in revenue associated with Red Hat, and you look at the comments, and I saw quite a few comments, not one, but several comments, they saying that they're basically playing a shuffle game, or they created creative accounting, or a cook in the books. They pass around the money, and they reallocate things, they relabel things in such a way that it will look like strategic areas, like Red Hat, are growing very fast, like they're doubling. But the way they accomplish that is not by actually getting more contracts, it's just redefining things so it will look like the old business is decreasing, is declining, the numbers are in the red, but everything that's supposedly the future is going way up. Microsoft does the same thing, by the way. They rebrand things that used to be known as Skype. When Microsoft bought Skype, Skype was a near monopoly. in the space. It's not anymore. And now Microsoft is redefining and rebranding things mostly with the word Teams, Microsoft Teams, and they want you to think that their growth is phenomenal. It's just like it's growing like nowhere, no time before, by, you know, hundreds of percent a year or thousands of percent a year. But what they're basically doing is they're just playing a shuffle. They're moving the customers from one product to another product, and then they claim, look at this growth of this new one. They call it cannibalization, because they take one product, they cannibalize it, they turn it into something else, and they pretend, look, the future of Microsoft is bright. Everything is cloud. Everybody's moving to the cloud, Microsoft cloud. But they don't tell you. What they actually do is they take existing clients in one area, whether it's host self-hosted email with Exchange, or, you know, using Outlook with Exchange or SharePoint, and they're moving them to Microsoft territory, and then they claim huge growth in cloud hosting or something, but you just lost your income from the licensing from before. In fact, they barely even report on some of these other things. If they even report on those other things, they usually keep these things secret if they can. Quite a few companies do that, even though they're publicly owned or sort of public companies owned by shareholders. They still keep something secret, and they find excuses to keeping it secret for strategic reasons, or, you know, we're still working on it. Google has been doing it for a number of years. They were hiding massive losses in cloud hosting until last year's results, which were announced a few months ago. They finally revealed that they were losing billions of dollars on that. Google. That's all I have to say for now. If you know anything about what happened with Gmeinhurst, tell me. I don't know. I'm not going to guess because it's pointless, because people will say, well, you're just speculating. And we've already been subjected to a bunch of corporate, I would call it astroturfing or censorship attempts by IBM. So if we put a story about IBM, which is perfectly factual, you will see a whole band of, like, literally about a dozen employees of IBM rushing through and trying to bury the story to make sure nobody will see it. So they're really eager to latch onto anything we say which cannot be easily proven, and failing that, they will, of course, go ad hominem. They will attack me personally, like, these guys, this and that. Really disgusting ways, you know, for you IBM to be doing that, to try to attack me personally, instead of dealing with the actual message, which typically comes, by the way, from whisperers inside IBM or Fedora. People who are from the inside who know what's going on. So you're just insulting yourself by not only describing yourself as a as sort of turncoats, but also enemies of freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and journalism. Because you think that by defending IBM, you used to work in Red Hat, and now you're defending IBM because they pay a salary, and you don't seem to actually be willing to open up your eyes and realize that this company work for IBM is probably not working in your interest, and the current strategy, the way things are going, you will be out of work. You will be out of work unless people find out what's going on, and maybe something will be done to salvage what used to be there of Reddit. I think there needs to be a sort of a branching out of former Reddit employees. They need to rebuild the company from the outside in the same way MariaDB did with MySQL after the buyout by Sun Microsystems, and then Sun Microsystems was bought by Oracle. And there's a few more companies like that. Yola, in the case of Nokia. I think there needs to be some kind of a new Red Hat that will rebel, move out of IBM, and rebuild the program, rebuild the products, whether it's Fedora community, maybe called something else, and Reddit Enterprise Linux. Build it from the outside. You have the GPL. It works in your favor. And you can say, we are the company of former Red Hat. We know the products. We have the experience, but we're not going to charge you and treat you in the same way IBM does.